Very good. Going for the chills today. Not sitting down because I'm getting old. Although that also may be true. Do you know what? It turns out that playing the piano with anointing oil on your fingers isn't as easy as it looks. Who knew? Okay, so new series today. It's called Shift the Dial. Before we get into that, I just want to give you a bit of a situation update. I know this is going to be news to most of you, but as you look around our lovely and beautiful sanctuary, we are struck by the fact that we have been given notice to leave. And apparently by July the 31st, we have to be out of here. Do you know what that means? That means change is coming our way. Well done, you're so good. Now, I know we all have a complex relationship with change, but the good news is God is in this one. 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 Do you know what? Some things do not and are not going to change. Our mission as a church is not going to change. Our vision as a church is not going to change. The culture that we're trying to create around here is not going to change. But some things might change. Location, it's going to change. Our strategy as a church might have to change. Our mission field might change. And you know what? At every crossroads, we have a question that we need to ask ourselves. And the question is, where do we turn? And the answer, in this case and always, where do we turn? The answer is, we run to God. Do you know what? We're all runners. And when we hit a bump in the road, everybody is going to run somewhere. But you know what? We are choosing. We are choosing to run to God. We're choosing to press in and to keep going. We're choosing to dig deeper. And given the choice, ours is deeper and faster and harder. And above all, closer. And all that is a perfect link into our new series, Shift the Dial. Just to set that up for you, the idea was sparked, as I recall, by listening to a leadership podcast about institutional habits. It's what I do in my spare time. And, you know, as I was listening to this particular podcast, we were in a conversation, an interview. As I was listening to it, my spirit just kind of leapt on the inside of me, if you know what that feels like. You know, most of the best ideas that I have, and I was talking to people last week, I know you're the same, that some of the best ideas come almost as parallel thoughts when you're watching something or you're listening to something. And it's as though your spirit is open and the Holy Spirit starts stirring and starts speaking. And so listening to this particular message led me to this question. What can we do? What can we do? You all included. What can we do intentionally and strategically and collectively to help us with deeper before further? Remember, deeper before further? That was our slogan, if you like, for 2025. And our slogan for 2026 is going to be shift the dial. Shift the dial. And here's the idea. How do we raise the spiritual temperature? We talk about that quite a lot, don't we? If the spiritual temperature could be measured on a sliding scale, how would we shift the dial? What things, if we all do them, would accelerate us into our calling as a church? What institutional habits could we, as a church family, adopt and practice and prioritize in order to facilitate growth? Things that we choose to do habitually and determinedly and together. It's parallels, I think, with the kingdom culture that we talk about quite a lot. What repeated actions just turn that soil? Just work that culture. All with the end goal of harvesting that dream, that harvest, our vision as a church. Okay, so that's the setup. We're going to do this through the course of 5 messages, of which this obviously is week 1. And what are our 5 intentional institutional habits that are going to shift that dial going to be? I'm glad you asked. Number 1 is all in. That's today. Be excited. You could look more excited, if you don't mind me saying. It's Mother's Day. Let your hair down. Or not. Number 1, all in, totally surrendered. Number 2 is word first. What would God say? What would the word say? Number 3 is choose grace. Kingdom culture value, always full of grace. Number 4 is stay curious. It's all about asking the right questions. And then number 5 is seek the nudge. Let the Holy Spirit lead the way. What I'm aiming for, I think, is a little bit of new language that we can use. I'm expecting you all to say over the next few weeks, are you all in? I'm all in. Are you all in? The purpose here is kind of a sharpened intensity. It's as we go through this change that we keep our gaze on the ultimate goal, which isn't a new building. It's closer to the Lord. Amen? Okay, so all in, the theory. Here's a well-known quote. D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, said this. He said, the world has not yet seen what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. Let that settle for a second. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. And then he went on to say, by God's help, I aim to be that man. And we're talking about him however many years later, so presumably he did okay. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. D.L. Moody, fully consecrated. 2 Chronicles, fully committed. And a powerful thought. What would total surrender look like? And how would it change everything? To flip that thought for a second, I wonder what are the unforeseen consequences of failing to surrender? Or the damage caused by withholding, or distrusting, or disobeying. You know what, I don't think I'd get much pushback against this statement. The more we surrender to God, the better off we are. Okay, so what do we know? What do we know? Matthew 16, 24, the words of Jesus. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What do we know? We know that God wants your heart. We know that God belongs on the throne. We know, don't we, that lordship cannot be shared. We know that obeying the word of God always makes sense. We know that Jesus wants uncontaminated. I was struggling to find the right word there. Jesus wants uncontaminated, unfettered relationship with you. We know, don't we, that surrender positions us to receive from his hand. And we know ultimately that when God's people collectively humble themselves and worship with passion and devotion, when they rise up with unified purpose, we know that the dial shifts. So, what does total surrender look like? Well, do you know what? It isn't vague or mystical. Total surrender shows up in very practical ways in every part of your life. It shows up in your heart. It shows up in your attitudes and your motivations. It shows up in your actions. It shows up in your priorities. I've summarized it with these six statements here. Number one, total surrender looks like, number one, fully yielded. Your heart is soft. Number two, it looks like utterly committed. Your will is conformed to God's. It looks like, number three, instinctive worship. Your knees are bent. Number four, it looks like willing obedience. Your feet are moving. Number five, it looks like hold nothing back. Your hands are open. And finally, it puts God first. Your priorities are ordered. Just a minute or so on each of those six. This is the theory, and then we'll get to the practice in a bit. So number one, all in looks like, totally surrendered looks like, fully yielded. When you are fully yielded, your heart is soft, your heart is pliable in God's hands, and it is no longer defensive, it is no longer resistant, it's no longer selective. Ezekiel 36, 26, God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh, soft and open and pliable. Psalm 51, verse 17, famous Psalm of David. The sacrifice you desire, O God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant or contrite heart, O God. See, a hard heart argues. It reasons. It makes excuses. A yielded heart accepts. It listens. And it complies. A hard heart is stubborn. A yielded heart is teachable and moldable and convictable. A hard heart is resistant. A yielded heart responds whenever the Holy Spirit nudges. And to the yielded, every part of their life belongs to God. There are no locked doors. So number one, fully yielded. Number two is utterly committed. This means that your will is conformed to God's rather than being half-hearted or selective. We're not talking here about partial alignment or casual affiliation, but absolute loyalty and complete devotion. Encapsulated by Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus was utterly committed. And for the utterly committed, faith isn't an add-on. It's not an optional extra. but an unshakable priority. Your relationship with the Lord isn't compartmentalized into Sundays or into special activities. It encapsulates every decision. It encapsulates your time, your money, your very identity. All your preferences, all your ambitions and plans come under the Lordship of Christ. And you move from asking, what do I want, to what does Jesus want? The all in don't ask, what do I want? They ask, what does Jesus want? Painting a picture here of what total surrender looks like. Number three is instinctive worship. For the all-in Christian, their knees are bent. Their default posture, if you like, physically, metaphorically, is on your knees. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Default posture. Psalm 95, verse 6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. So the all-in heart thanks God quickly and honors him openly and depends on him constantly. Its instinct is not, it's not pride or self-reliance, but reverence and gratitude. God always gets the glory, and anything else just feels wrong. You know what? A Christian should be entirely comfortable on their knees. Mildly ironic statement when you get to my age. A Christian should be entirely comfortable on their knees. In fact, any other posture should be uncomfortable. Think about that. Number four. Willing obedience. This one, your feet are moving, responding quickly whenever God speaks. If God says jump, the answer is how high? We're not talking about partial obedience or delayed obedience. We're not talking about negotiated obedience. Anyone do that? We're not even talking about reluctant obedience. We're talking about an obedience that is quick and decisive and accurate and willing. You know, many believers are happy to hear the word and even to study the word. They're delighted to discuss the word. But all in means we actually do what God says in his word without reservation. We had it in the book of James, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And so for the willingly obedient, Jesus is not just Savior. Thank you, Lord, you are Savior. He is not just Savior, but he is Lord. Number five is hold nothing back. This one has your hands wide open. You see, closed hands, they grip and they control. Open hands, trust and release. When our hands are open, our time is available, our gifts are offered, our resources are released, and our future is placed in God's hands. And so surrender, disciples, stop asking, what can I keep? And start asking God, what can I offer? Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And hence we give God everything as part of our worship. Not just the things that suit us, not just the comfortable parts or the convenient parts, or the cost-free parts. We hold nothing back. And then lastly, number six, the all-in heart puts God first. This one, your priorities are ordered and aligned and are consecrated. What's the famous verse? Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added as well. You see, Jesus demanded that we put God first. Imperative, unambiguous, and crucial. God comes first. Proverbs 3, verse 9, 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The principle of the first. You might have heard me talk about this before. What does God want from us? He wants our first fruits. He wants our firstborn. And he wants our first day. If we had time, we could go through the Old Testament and look. First day is Sabbath, right? First day, the Sabbath day is holy. God wants the first. So all in means that God moves to the center of everything. It doesn't ask, where can I fit God in? But what does God want to build my life around? I think we just sung that. And of course, when Jesus was on the earth, his demand for commitment gradually cranked up. And what happened? The crowd slowly, gradually, and sadly drifted away. No one said that all in was easy. Just ask the rich young ruler. So that's the theory. It's great theory. Easier said than done, maybe. I think that our spirits, when they hear that, go, yes, please. While our flesh shouts out, not so fast, not so sure. I want you to remember this. God is not after your perfect performance. He's after your soft and surrendered heart. God doesn't call you to total surrender out of tyranny, but out of rich and demonstrated giving love. Because he knows that surrender positions you for love, joy, and peace. So if that's the theory, what does living surrender, what does all in look like in practice? Five, we'll go through them quickly, a minute or so on each. Number one is live in awe. It all starts, everything starts with the fear of the Lord. That should be our inspiration. That should be our motivation. That should be our driving force, if you like. 1 Peter 1 verse 15, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So all in means that God's holiness sets the bar. His character shapes our conduct. So the question for the all-in is no longer what is acceptable or what can I get away with. The question becomes what honors the holy God who has called me. And when the fear of the Lord arrests our heart, surrender stops feeling like a loss and starts feeling like the only reasonable response. And when we see God for who he truly is, holy and awesome, glorious and good, when we see God for who he truly is, holding anything back no longer makes any sense at all. So what does all in living looks like? Number one, it lives in awe. Number two, what does all in living look like? It looks like this. Do it now. Instant, accurate obedience. And I'd encourage you right now, drive that stake into the ground. What God says, that I will do. And I will do it without delay. And I will do it without negotiation. And I will do it without compromise. And I will even do it without counting the cost. Familiar verses, John 14, 15. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commands. Luke 11, 28. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Psalm 119, 59. I've considered my ways and I've turned my steps to your statutes. Verse 60. I will not hasten and not delay to obey your commands. That's the all-in heart. And this means that all-in people are quick to forgive. They're the first to apologize and to turn the other cheek and to go that extra mile. It means that all-in people obey even if their flesh is screaming. And it means that they trust God enough to obey first and leave the outcomes to him. So number two, all-in people, do it now. Number three, all-in people, very simple, say yes. All-in people are wholeheartedly available to God. And with all-in surrender comes an unreserved, unqualified yes. God is master, and I am willing servant, privileged to be a participant in his purposes. Comes to mind an old Chris Bowater song for you old Christian rockers like me. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Isaiah 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. So, if you're all in, say yes. Wholeheartedly available to God. That means the all-in embrace that feisty interruption. God placing someone or something in your path right at the wrong time, just when you're busy. Because God has your available heart, the answer is yes. The all-in welcome that impulse that you get to pray in the moment. The all-in weigh the call for help, and they do so whenever they reasonably can. The all-in live ready and attentive and willing. They live compassionate and sacrificial and active. Number four is give freely, generous stewardship. See, the all-in, those people who've given their hearts to God without qualification and reserve, they recognize that actually they are stewards and not owners. And with that comes the consecration of their time and their gifts and their resources. Everything you have really belongs to him anyway. So it becomes your privilege to use what he's given you to serve him. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. The all-in heart. A surrendered heart naturally becomes a generous heart, whether that be giving or hospitality, or serving, or using your gifts for the benefit of your church family. And then last one, number five, the all-in. Step out boldly with courageous faith. What do we have last week? If God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. All of my eggs, as they say, I think they say, are in God's basket. All of my eggs are in God's basket. You see, for all-in people, comfort is no longer the primary consideration. The purposes of God become the driving force. Joshua 1 verse 9, this is my command. Moses speaking to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, when it's God's reputation, not your own, that matters, you're much more likely to step out or take a faith risk without reasoning yourself out of it, without counting the cost and choosing no. That might be sharing the gospel when an opportunity presents itself. It might be standing up for truth under cultural pressure. It might be choosing God's way even when the outcomes are uncertain. But the all-in heart steps out boldly with courageous faith. Really quick summary. The all-in, number one, live in awe. My life is set apart for him. Number two, the all-in, do it now. When God says jump, my answer is how high? Not maybe, not let me think about it, Lord. The answer is how high. Number three, the all-in, say yes. I live ready for God to use me. Number four, the all-in, give freely. Everything I have belongs to God. And number five, the all-in, step out boldly. I follow Jesus, even when it costs me. Okay, nearly there. How then does this shift the dial? As we begin this series, asking a simple question, what actually raises the spiritual temperature of a church? You know, it isn't better programs. It isn't clever strategies. The spiritual temperature will not be raised by busier calendars. What changes everything is surrender to the Lord. And when people go all in with Jesus, everything begins to move. That verse in 2 Chronicles again, 16 verse 9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those. What's he looking for? He's looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He is seeking surrendered hearts. And when he finds them, then he moves. And when God's people start to live like that, as I've described this morning, the dial begins to move. It begins to dig deeper because surrendered people have stopped playing at faith and they've begun pursuing God with all of their hearts. The dial begins to go further because surrendered people are willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads. The dial, it grows hotter. Because surrender fuels passion and worship. It fuels prayer and spiritual hunger. It runs faster because obedience accelerates what God purposes. Finally, it draws closer because the more we yield ourselves to Christ, the nearer we draw to him. So here's the scoop. Going full circle, the future that God has for this church will not be determined primarily by the rigor of our plans, but by the depth of our surrender. Not by how talented we are, not by how organized we are, but by how all in we are. So how does all in relate to our building search? It's not about a building. It's about God's purposes. It's not about a location. It's about a mission. It's not about availability. It's about alignment. It's not about convenience, but commitment. It's not about how much it costs. It's about what does the Lord say. So as we begin this series, the invitation is simple. Before we talk about anything else, before we build any other habits, as we will over the next few weeks, the question is, will we go all in? Because when a church chooses total surrender, that's when the dial really starts to move. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up. I'm going to give you three challenge questions today. Oh, great, they say. Three challenge questions. You know, as I said at the start, this is not meant to be a, you know, God looking down with his big sticks, you know, step out of line. If they're half-hearted and uncommitted, I'm going to give them a good thwack. It's not how God looks. That's next week, choosing grace, right? What God is offering us is an invitation into a better and fuller and a more blessed life. That statement right at the beginning, the more we surrender to God, the better off we are. I don't think that's a controversial statement. And so here are three challenge questions just to stimulate your personal response. Yeah, because yes, we're putting this in the context of the church together here, but ultimately, it's between you and God. And we'll set this up so you can do business with him this morning. So question number one is, I'm calling it the throne question. If Jesus truly is on the throne of your life, that's a great plan, by the way. If Jesus truly is on the throne of your life, what needs to move off today? If you want to be all in, what's that blockage? What's that thing that's still trying to control you and manipulate you and dominate you? Time to get that off the throne and make sure that Jesus is well and truly on that throne. I suggest you talk to me about that this morning. Question number two, I'm calling the locked door question. If every room of your life belongs to Jesus, you know what I mean by that? Every room of your life belongs to Jesus. Is there any door that is still locked? Because you think that somehow by locking it, God can't see in behind it. The only difference is when you start unlocking that door and you start opening that door, God can come in and start to make a difference. So the second question is the locked door question. The third one, obvious, I think we're going to call this one the obedience question. Is there anything that you know that God is asking from you that you've not yet surrendered? And the response this morning, whatever it is, whichever one of those it is to lay it down and to give it up, to fall to your knees. The response is to invite God in. Why not pray a dangerous prayer this morning? Why not ask God to turn the temperature up and tell him this morning that you want to be all in? Or if that's a little bit much for you, at least tell him that you want to be more in. I'm going to pray and then we'll spend a bit of time in response before we're done. Lord, this morning we want to respond to your invitation to us. Your arms are wide open, saying to your people, come. saying to your people, come to me. Come to my heart. Come under the shadow of my wing. Come into my presence. And Lord, for all of us, there's this kind of battle going on for authority, for lordship, for dominance, and there are things that we cling on to, and you're saying to us today, let them go. We should be running to you, Lord. Once we understand how good you are, once we have that revelation of how much you love us, that you are truly a good, good Father, that you died on the cross in our place to pay the price in full, totally for our sin, that you sent the Holy Spirit to fill us and to walk with us. If only we fully understood that, then nothing would keep us away from you. So into that, Lord, I just pray over everyone in the room. Lord, the message is entitled, Shift the Dial. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us today, that dial would shift a little bit more in the direction of all in. A little bit more yielded. A little bit more committed. A little bit more obedient. So, Holy Spirit, we just offer you the next few minutes. Come and just give us that nudge in the ribs that we need. We probably know what we need to do already, but just confirm that in our hearts this morning as we wrestle with those questions of locked doors and thrones and obedience as we let you in a little bit further, a little bit deeper, knowing that the more that we surrender to you, the better off we are. So Holy Spirit, we give you this time. Be gentle with us. Come and stir our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so with the worship team, we're going to lead us in a song in just a moment. Usual rules.